The precious Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus in the form of a dove. And every now and then, when referring and speaking about the Holy Spirit, I like to have a dove on my shoulder. I think it also helps me realize I have different times with a dove on my shoulder the whole time. Gave me a new reality of how the precious partner is right with us. We need the Holy Spirit. The Greek word, which means alongside, we get the word parallel. Lots of words come from this derivative. Our precious partner, I refer to him as. I often on my walks will begin by honoring the Lord and thanking Him for His goodness, and then thanking Him for the precious partner, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. He's the one that drew us in the first place. We need the Holy Spirit working in our lives to walk with us, to guide us, to teach us, to comfort us, to convict us. I realize everybody here, at least a lot of you, have different levels of knowledge. Just to back up a little bit, the Bible says that no man comes to God unless the Spirit draws him. It's through the Holy Spirit that we come to Christ in the first place. It's through the Holy Spirit that we're drawn. It's the Holy Spirit that we're sitting in a church service or we're driving down the road and we feel the stirring in our heart. And we know that God's speaking to us. So we're going up the steps of the funeral home in a crisis in our life, like I referred to in the message this morning. And God's gotten our attention through confronting us with something in life to wake us up in our blindness. It's the Holy Spirit that draws us. And the Holy Spirit is very, very valuable. It's the Holy Spirit that draws us to the Father. Now, once we come to Christ, then it is the Holy Spirit who guides us, teaches us, comforts us, convicts us. But I want in a very practical way tonight talk a little bit about how that anger can take us out of our walk in the Spirit. How that bitterness can keep us out. Ill feelings within the body, with each other, within the family, within the workplace, can distance him from us. It's not that God doesn't love us. It's not that God doesn't still woo us and care for us. But the Holy Spirit has to distance himself when we choose attitudes that aren't pleasing to God. And I think tonight, I'm not sure what all direction I'm going to go, but I have a lot of things on my heart tonight, and I feel, in addition to the group here tonight, the messages go on the internet. I never know who will hear them. I've been amazed, and pray for that ministry, because I've been amazed at people I would hear from that referred to a message that I forgot about and say they'd heard it and God had used it. So add that to your prayer list if you would, and we're going to expand that a little bit too. We're going to, when we go to morning service here in March, we're going to be doing more of a web ministry. I feel God laid that heavily on my heart through four precious men, one of which, Matt Hunt. But four men, he was one of those that God spoke to me very directly. It's not something I've desired to do necessarily. Never really, at times even, was hesitant about the idea. But pray for that God will use that. And I don't know who may hear what we're saying tonight. But I know that in our world, and I know with the type of ministry we have here and the outreach that we're doing, there's a lot of people starting over. There's a lot of people bouncing back from difficult situations. When you're bouncing back from difficult situations and starting over, you often have a lot of baggage to deal with. I feel like I've had a lot of baggage my whole life. He's very understanding. It's the Holy Spirit who woos us in the first place and calls us to himself. I would feel inappropriate using this to illustrate the Holy Spirit if it were not that he descended in the form of a dove on Jesus. Because the precious Holy Spirit is to be reverenced. He's part of the Trinity. I'm staying on this a little while on purpose. I think we often in the Christian world take for granted that part of the Trinity God would send to be a partner with us. And he said, I'll not just be with you, I'll be in you. So actually this example is inferior to the reality of what really happens. I'll be in you. But by our daily walk, this is where I want to talk with you tonight. In our daily walk, where many of us are young, many of you are young, not us. Many of you are young, and many of you are starting over. And normally, and I hope that others will listen to the message on the web, because a number that come aren't here tonight that we've been reaching out to. They're going through difficult things. When you're starting over, like several of you are, oh, and receive this tonight, not in a critical sense. Please, I beg you that this is going to be a year of bluntness. I promise you that. I feel God has not only asked me to encourage you to have a year of courage, but I'm to have a year of courage. I want to be more bold, kind but bold, more than I ever have been before. And I need to address some things. Don't get under condemnation and say, oh boy, I shouldn't have come tonight. First thing he has on there is anger. And man, I'm full of anger all the time. Don't take that approach if that's the issue. But I need you to understand tonight that there are times when God wants to use us tremendously, but he can't. Who was entering a very difficult situation, and understandably so, was getting very, very angry. I said, no, no, no. Don't go there. Seek the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Because when you go into an angry, hateful spirit, and you buy into that, it isn't that the precious Father doesn't love you anymore. It isn't that you've lost your salvation, so next Sunday I need to go to the altar at Skinner and repent and start all over. That isn't what it is. But what does happen when we adopt a angry spirit and become hateful and vindictive, and what it does is the Bible says the Holy Spirit is easily grieved, and he has to, if you can create a word picture without any irreverence, he lights off of your shoulder and he has to go a distance away and begins to try to woo you back into proper thinking. So we need to get our fingernails in this. I don't know about you, but I need the guidance. Do you? I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. This world's too complex. I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I need the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I need the comfort. Do I ever need the comfort of the Holy Spirit? I need the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to keep me on track. And anger will take us out. Bitterness will keep you out. It'll keep you out. The Holy Spirit will plead with you, but if you buy in, if anger takes root and it becomes bitterness, it'll keep you out of walking in the Spirit. The schemer, and pardon me as I move this a time or two to keep it fresh, and next week I'll have a new one, and it's not going to do that, so I'll have to do that one more week. Nice blessing I received is an upgraded iPad for messages. Bitterness keeps you out. For it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. You can't go into the factory or the office, the workplace, the mall, where you work, the store that you manage, the on it goes. You can't go into those places and be the light that you need to be on your own. You have to have the indwelling Holy Spirit, the precious partner. But I think it's good to realize what attitudes we can buy into, and the schemer works to bring those up. And it takes us out of walking in the Spirit. Anger takes you out. Bitterness will keep you out. Conflict takes him out. Go to that later in the message, but I think the devil's constantly trying to stir up conflict in the body of Christ. You'll just get, Pam and I look at each other times and just shake our head. You just get one thing settled, you know, and get everything all going okay and all repaired, and then something else blows up, you know. Devil is constantly trying to stir up conflict, because conflict among believers takes him out. And suddenly the church service changes and people say, it doesn't feel like it used to in here. It used to feel so warm and good and loving in here. It doesn't feel that way anymore. And the enemy's won a victory. So this morning I talked in the message, and if you weren't there this morning, I would encourage you to listen to the internet. I don't promote my own messages, but I don't believe that was my own this morning. I had a message this morning on the process of lying to yourself, which moves into blindness. I preached it here in August, but I went a little different direction with it this morning. And how that blindness then leads to hardness of heart, and you can even come to the place of a reprobate mind. And I would encourage you to listen to that message. The Holy Spirit, we need the precious Holy Spirit. The conflict takes Him out. Ill feelings, conflict between people, that distances us then from the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you again, let me say, it isn't that you've lost your salvation. It isn't that God doesn't love you anymore. It's that He can't work through you at the level He could because He's had to distance Himself. He can't be part of that. Does that make sense? He can't be part of that kind of thinking. God is holy. Takes you out. James 1:20 says, "The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." When I find myself in a situation where the enemy is trying to create anger, and we'll go a little bit, some different directions with that a little later in the message. Like a lot of people, especially with baggage from their past, struggle with anger issues. So it's a reality problem. But often I quote the verse. If I see something where the enemy's trying to agitate me, and I feel like I can speak on this subject with some authority because I had a lot of anger issues as a young man. And in a few minutes, I'm going to go into anger is often rooted in something. And did you know that anger turned inward is depression at times? It isn't always what depression is, but anger turned inward will become depression. And often when I meet someone who struggles terribly with depression, I ask them, "What are you angry about?" That's not always the case. But often I'll quote the verse, when temptation comes to anger, and I've come a long way. I just had a lot of anger as a young man, and that was rooted in ill toward my father and ill toward my older brother. You've all, or many of you, have heard that story. But I can say at near 40 years, precious years of walking with the precious partner, I have times I'll get angry. It isn't the issue it used to be, and I want to say that to you, not in a boastful, to encourage you that if you struggle with that, stay with it. Stay with it. And in a few minutes, we're going to go into some of the roots of anger and take a look at what the root is and what's causing this. Why does this happen? You know, why do I knock the windshield out when something goes wrong? There's a reason for that. And those things need to be looked at. And this morning I talked about lying to yourself. We can live in denial, folks, or we can let God, the marvelous surgeon, okay? You all right with that? The marvelous surgeon will take the two-edged sword. You can live with your baggage and just lug those suitcases around your whole life. But I want to say from personal testimony that God can give you deliverance from things. He can absolutely give you deliverance from things. And there'll be times He'll try to tempt you again. He has that in His file from your past. There'll be times He'll try, but He can give you deliverance from things. And in our lives, many of you, I know you could testify to this, that 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a reality, that we're a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you're a young Christian, just starting over, stay with it. Stay with it. This thing works. That's why I can sell it so hard, because it works. I had a guy tell me one time years and years ago when I was at Kroger's, he tried to get me to sell cars at Paul Richard. He said, "Man," he said, "you could sell ice cubes at Eskimos." He said, "You got personality, type of personality, you're a salesman." And I said, "I can't sell cars." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because I don't believe in them. They cost too much." I said, "Now I believe I could sell real estate," and I did go into real estate for a short time, because I think a home is a good investment for a couple. You know, I think it's a good step if it's thought out and done right. I can sell this. That's a poor way to say it. Pardon my vocabulary, but I can sell this because I know that it works. Hang with it. Stay with it. Don't give up. If you've only been a Christian a year or 2 years, I don't care if you've been a Christian 8 years, 10 years. From the time of I was 19 till I was 30, it seemed like all I did was work through suitcases full of baggage in my life. Don't give up. The Lord will walk you through that stuff. The precious partner will guide you all the way. But anger takes you out, and the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 says, "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully."
Do not let the sun go down while you're angry.
Husband and wives, don't go to bed mad. There's something to that about don't let the sun go down on your wrath. I'm not just playing on words. Some people say, oh, that's just speaking in general terms. No, there's something about going to bed with bad feelings and sleeping on it. I don't know exactly how things work with our psychology, but I know that things can set in your mind. That's hard to get rid of. Don't go to sleep at night with bad feelings, and do not give the devil a foothold. Isn't it interesting? It says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and it says, don't give the devil a foothold. Because if you go to sleep and you mull on this, and you let a day or two pass, and you keep that progressing, the devil then has a foothold in your life. And do not give the devil a foothold. He who was stealing, steal no more, must work and do something useful with his hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice, and be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. That's a powerful passage of Scripture. Boy, there's so many keys in that. There's so many keys to a happy life in that. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. I want the precious partner. Can I just put it out there? I want the precious partner to say, boy, I'm real content right here. I'm nothing special. God's no respecter of persons. Men training for leadership. Come on, listen to me. Men training for leadership. Why am I on you all the time? And it might seem like I am. to pull it together. To put away things of the past. To have the vessel what it needs to be. Because I've learned the value of doing that. And the Holy Spirit stays close. Oh, it isn't that you make a mistake, and the Spirit, who is easily grieved, needs to move away because he can't be part of this attitude that you have. It isn't then that you've lost your salvation. You got to run to the altar next Sunday and repent. If you die tomorrow, you're going to burn in hell. God doesn't operate that way. But you start losing your effectiveness because it's when the precious partner is within us. And by our side, that we have the guidance of the Spirit. That's why I want to go to another level. It isn't about legalism. I don't know. That's disgusting to me when you talk about wanting to please God. And people say, you're being legalistic. Well, there's definitely legalistic people out there. But it's obvious by the Spirit they have. They don't understand this. It's obvious. You've been around church people. It's obvious. They haven't got a clue. There isn't the kindness and the compassion of the Holy Spirit in their life. I want the precious partner very, very close. Now listen, when you get angry, it takes you out of your walk with the Spirit. Because see, the Holy Spirit, he says, I want to help you with this situation you're trying to talk to your wife about. But I can't be part of this. Look at the way you're talking to her. You're disrespecting her. And so the Holy Spirit, he says, I want to help you. I want to see you settle this issue, but I can't be part of this. Does that make sense? It makes all kinds of sense. I'm a holy God. I'm a comforter. You've turned harsh and mean and nasty, and you've bought into attitudes that aren't right. I've had many times I felt something raising up inside me, and that verse would come to me, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Lord, I don't want to go this way. I give this to you. I don't want to fall into this. Here, I want you to understand that. But these kinds of choices do make a difference. They do make a difference of keeping the Holy Spirit active in your life. Move that. Oh, shoot. Oh, good. I thought it quit on me again. In your workplace, I think the enemy is constantly trying to stir conflict, ill feelings, anger, to take us out of our walk in the Spirit. Because it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. I know I said that before, but hear me out. He knows that it's when we walk in the Spirit that we're effective and we're used. But when we cross over and our heart becomes angry and hateful, We open the door to darkness. Light has no fellowship with darkness. When I buy into the darkness, and if I can take an exit ramp for just a second here, I must do this. This is why, guys and gals, that secret sin is so critical. When you fall back into the old suitcase of pornography, it isn't that the precious partner doesn't love you anymore. He sent not his son to the world to condemn. It isn't that he doesn't love you. He's not even looking at you and doing this in your face. What he's doing is he's lighting off of your shoulder and he's saying, oh, no, 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 come back. Shut that thing off. I can't be part of this. I can't be part of this. It's so important that we realize that. When we move into rebellion, a rebellious attitude. Guys, I'm not trying to be big boss when I insist those you in leadership are in submission to authority. Been in charge long enough, I don't get any buzz out of it. I'm telling you, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, and it's a lot of accountability to God. It's a lot of responsibility. And man, I see some of these ministers that are retired and just relaxing. I'm thinking, man, but I want to work as long as I'm supposed to. I want to be active. When I encourage you guys to be in submission to authority and those over you, I'm not trying to be harsh or be big boss. That's when the Spirit will work in your life most effectively. Is when you have an attitude of submission. When you have an attitude of rebellion, ain't nobody going to tell me. I'll do it my way. Who's this guy think he is telling me how to do it? And I don't think any of you have that attitude. I'm exaggerating some to get the point across. But I realize the Spirit's not going to use you to the level you could be used because you won't lower your head. So sometimes I just say, you're going to have to lower your head or you're out because you can't be used otherwise. The Holy Spirit wants desperately to use us. And this dark world, Miami, Cass, the counties around us, this outreach, we need people walking in the Spirit. And it's available to each of us. Takes us out. I'm going to get brave here. Let's take a minute and talk about anger. Let's stop here and let's talk about a sensitive talk. Let's talk about getting angry at our kids. This is casual. It's a coffee house church, so we don't have to have a real structured outline. But while I was preparing, I just felt like for some reason, I know that a lot of you are starting over and you got families and so let's just take an exit ramp for a minute, because I think in the home, this is an issue. Anger at our children. Sensitive topic. First of all, just a practical psychology lesson. Anger assassinates our authority. Anger assassinates our authority. But there is the idea in our world today that to be firm and give consequences is wrong. Disciplining our children, again, it's an exit ramp for a second. We'll come back on the freeway. Harshness from anger versus firmness with consequences. I think God wants to aid us in raising our children. I know that He does. I think He wants to empower us. I think the Holy Spirit wants to be active in our lives in the training of our children. I wish I had some things to do over. You're a better grandfather than your father. Wish I had some things to do over. Firmness with consequences. Firmness with consequences. Definite discipline in the home. I had a rule when the boys were little, the one-time rule. Nowadays, people think it's crazy, but it worked. I'm not going to scream and holler. I'm not going to jump up and down. We're not going to go there. The reason we do that is because we let things go too long, and then that's the only way we can get anybody's attention, because we let it go way out of hand. I don't want to go there. I had a one-time rule with the boys, and I'd tell the boys, I'd say, now I'm going to tell you one time, I had a paddle hanging out in the garage. Of course, you go to jail nowadays for that. The boys, I said, I'll tell you, and then I'll ask you if you heard me. So, for example, it's 9 o'clock, and I say, guys, it's time to pick up your toys. Time to get ready for bed. I say, everybody hear me? Look around the room, make sure I made eye contact, everybody heard me. I'd wait a couple minutes. If they didn't do it, I'd start out for the garage. Harshness with consequences versus harshness from anger. in our relationship with our spouse. This is real life. You can be firm. You can be absolutely stick to what you believe. But I want to be free of harshness. Haven't always been. Don't want to be. I told you this morning in the message that one of my goals is in the autumn season of life. I want to be a better husband than I ever have been before. Anger takes us out of abnormal anger. You can take medication. There's times there's a need for medication. Don't anybody be offended by that. But if you have an abnormal anger problem, you can go to anger management classes. You can take medication. You can use unusual channels. You can go buy a punching bag. That'll work, you know. You can go buy a punching bag, and maybe there's a time that you need a punching bag. But those aren't ultimately the answers. An abnormal problem with anger, you need to find the root of the anger. And let's go there for a minute. Uh-oh, that didn't change. Help, Robbie. Oh, wait, maybe I can be smart enough to figure it out. We'll see. That's a kind of a gamble, actually. What's the root of our anger? I said a few minutes ago, the anger turned inward becomes depression. You may be a person, you say, well, I don't have bursts of anger, but I do have depression. You need to take a look at what might you be angry about. So if you have an abnormal, I kind of got off on the children thing for a while, we're back on the main highway now again. What's the root of our anger? If there's definitely a problem that you identify in your life, it can be a lot of things, and this certainly is an exhaustive list. But I believe that unconfessed or undealt with sin can be a root of anger. And I think this is a good time for self-analysis. Over the years in counseling people, it just turns out pretty simple, really. Unconfessed sin. Something in our life that, and number one and two kind of go together, because an unconfessed sin is I'm not talking about going to confession where you're to name every little detail you did. I'm talking about some issue in your life of consequence that hasn't been dealt with. An unresolved issue. I've worked with people that no matter how much medication they took, how many punching bags they bought, how many anger management classes they went to attempt to control the monster, they couldn't control the monster, and it's because they'd never dealt with the root issue. Unresolved issue from the past. I don't know what that might be in your life, but I know that the precious partner can reveal that to you. If you go with me on this trip a little bit, I know that the precious partner can teach you John 14, 15, and 16, talk about the Holy Spirit, and that He'll counsel you and comfort you and teach you. And I have come to God in my 20s when I was going through a time of a lot of anger. And I said to the Lord in my early 20s, Lord, what is it that's the root of this? There's something fueling this. And I'm going to tell you what I did. I didn't do the punching bag, but I did something similar. I didn't want to be unkind to my children. I didn't want to be rageful at my wife, and I was a Christian. So you know what I did? I'll tell you what I did. I thought, I got to get this out of me. I went outside at night, and I'd split wood. The house that we lived over there next to where Vince and Gail are, lived there 21 years, built that house and lived there, and we burnt wood and heated with wood completely. And I'd set big oak logs out there at the end, on the east end of the house. There wasn't any windows on that end. And I'd go out there at night after dark, and I was dead. And I'd swing that axe as hard as I could and split that wood, because I recognized I had some anger inside me, but I didn't know what to do with it. Now, don't run with things. There are times, maybe you're going through a time and your job's stressful, and maybe you just need to go downstairs and take it out on a punching bag. And there's nothing wrong with splitting wood to get rid of some of your energy. But if you're doing it every night, and that's the only way you can cope, you got more going on than needing firewood. And I realized I'd been raised in a home with a lot of godly principles, and I had some great mentors, Pastor Bishop, my father, and I desired greatly to be a godly man. And so I tried to self-medicate in different ways, but one was to, my punching bag was splitting wood, and I'd go out there and take that axe, and I'd swing that thing as hard as I could and hit that and split wood sometimes a half hour, hour at a time, just to wear myself out. But I recognized something was wrong. But during that time, I began saying, Lord, you're the teacher. You said you'd lead us into truth. What is fueling this? There's something fueling this. And God began speaking to me about what was fueling my anger. And in my particular case, it was ill toward my father and my older brother that was fueling my anger. I also had some issues of people I hadn't forgiven. Number 7. I'm jumping around here. But several of these apply to me. I had issues with people that I hadn't forgiven, people that had hurt me, that I said I forgave them, but I didn't. I remember going to one very precious person in our family and saying to that person, I told you I forgave you, but I didn't. I think I even meant it at the time, but I didn't. I know that I didn't. I've got to let it go. What's fueling your anger? You can medicate yourself and you can do all kinds of things, but if this is something that's, and the reality is when you're coming out of a difficult life, you're coming out of broken relationships. This is an outreach. We're not going to be a normal congregation. I love it. We're going to be a congregation of speckled birds, and I love it. I believe Jesus' 12 disciples were speckled birds. And I believe what the reason I say I love it is because, as I said last week, he that is forgiven much loveth much. And if people will be willing to not lie to themselves and look things straight in the face and go through their baggage and be honest with themselves and not live in denial, God will make apostles out of speckled birds. You with me? God will make apostles out of speckled birds. God will take people that thought they could never have deliverance, and they'll be helping other people find deliverance. It's the most powerful thing in the world. People that have come out of brokenness, but you can't stop with just coming to Christ. You've got to be willing to unzip the suitcases and begin through, and God will walk you through it. It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is a broken willingness to have the suitcases unzipped. God will walk you through it. I say this with passion because I've been there. I had unresolved issues. That can be there. It can be rooted in unfair treatment. 10 years ago, you went to court and totally got the screws. Pardon me, that's probably the way to say it. But unfair treatment, injustice. Oh, if we don't have injustice. I've sat in situations and seen families fall apart and sat in courtrooms, and I've thought, oh my goodness, how are people going to get past some of the injustice here? Betrayal. Age of. An undisclosed, number 6 is huge. An undisclosed painful incident. Oh, my. All kind of things come to mind. I've had people in despair after wrestling almost like having a baby in front of you and finally come out with something that was in their life that they'd never told anybody. But it fueled anger. It fueled anger. And you need to pick those safe. Kathy, I like the way you say it. You need to pick those safe and appropriate places. You don't just spill the beans to everybody. But God will bring you the precious Holy Spirit. If you say, Lord, I want to go through my suitcases, but man, oh man, go through them one at a time. Just go through them one at a time. You're working with a Heavenly Father here that's far more patient than you got any idea. I'm proof God can use anybody. God will work you through things. But those undisclosed painful incidents in your past, in your history, when you come up with those, never will forget Daddy telling the story about a woman that kept coming to the altar and 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 crying and sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And boy, they just kind of at their wits' end. Something's up with this lady, and they didn't know what they could do to help her. She kept saying, pray for me, pray for me. I can't imagine living with this. And this was years ago. She's long gone, so this is not a place to say. Dad was a traveling evangelist, met people all over the United States. Finally, one day, she let it out in a very painful way with agony and said, destroyed that baby. Can you imagine living with that? Had that baby, and destroyed the baby. And no one knows it till today. And she said, Pastor Robbins, 5 nights ago when you preached and in Revelation you read that passage that said the seal, give up the dead that are in it, I knew that baby's going to resurface and I got to get this straightened out. That's heavy stuff. But I'm going to tell you something, that's the kind of stuff that fuels people's anger. That's the kind of things that makes people go off on their children and go off on their spouse and destroy things. And it's a difficult and painful thing. But don't just stop with coming to the cross. Coming to the cross, you're forgiven and your slate is clean. But let God, let the surgeon, you can trust this surgeon. He's real good at what he does. And he takes the two-edged sword and he uses the truth of God's word. And he'll begin kind of cutting in there and exposing things. I want to always be a man that gives God permission to pry around and uncover. What's the root of your anger? Is there anybody that you need to forgive? We said anger takes you out. Bitterness keeps you out. Before I go here, if you get angry and that anger takes root, and you go to sleep with that anger, and you stay with that anger, and it becomes bitterness. In Hebrews it says, you're familiar with the verse, we've used it many times in these services, beware lest a root of bitterness spring up and defile many. Bitterness will keep you out. You may say this is too hard of a line, but in my years of being a Christian and counseling people, I believe that when you reach the stage of bitterness, that the Holy Spirit wants desperately to work in your life, but He cannot work with the closeness and effectiveness if you're bitter. He can't. He wants to. He wants to, but he can't be part of that. So anger takes you out. Bitterness keeps you out. Conflict and ill feelings. Let's talk about conflict and ill feelings. We've touched on it, but let's go a little farther with it. They distance you from the precious partner. Hebrews 12:15, powerful verse. I quoted a minute ago, Matthew 5:23. Ill feelings and hurt feelings. I'll come back to those verses in a minute. Ill feelings and hurt feelings, a place of vulnerability. Let's just go ahead and go there for a few minutes. Hurt feelings. Ever get your feelings hurt? I have a tender heart and tender hide. Get my feelings hurt a lot. Have learned what to do with that. But hurt feelings are not wrong. If you've been hurt, it's the decision you make of what you do with that that's the crucial thing. God is so concerned about our relationships that he even goes so far in Matthew 5:23 there to say that if your brother has aught against you, now think about it. It isn't about, now we know in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We know in the parable of the unmerciful debtor, we know that we're to forgive from the heart. But Matthew 5:23 goes so far as to say when you bring your gift to the altar, you bring your offering, you bring your gift to the altar, if you realize your brother has aught against you, then we have responsibility there. Now, if I may put a little advice in with that, and don't want to taint or take away or add to the scripture in any way, but there's timing issues to think of, and the scripture bears that out elsewhere. There's a good word spoken in Proverbs. It says that a proper time is of great value. You know, I think when you go to somebody, I don't just the first thing jump and go to somebody. The Bible does say if your brother have aught against you to go to him, but there's timing and there's prayer involved in that. I've had times when I discovered, maybe I didn't know it, but I discovered that someone had aught against me. First of all, you need to make sure they do. You don't act on a rumor. You need to make sure they do. I've heard so-and-so said this. Well, is that really what they said? Is it out of context? Is that what they meant? Was it repeated 3 times? But if you find out a fact someone has aught against you, then there's also the issue of whether the person will receive it. And so there's some issues there. And that we could go spend a little while on that. I'll not get us lost in that right now, but would be glad to personally help if you have issues like that. That had a lot of times when I realized somebody had a misunderstanding or something. And there's times you make efforts and have done that numerous times. Actually, I've done that hundreds of times. And at times it wasn't received. So there's some elements with that. But the point I'm making is that Matthew 5:23, it's so important to God that if we realize somebody has aught against us, he says, leave your gift and go to that person. Now, ill feelings and hurt feelings. We don't want hurt feelings to become ill feelings. Why? Because hurt feelings distance us. If Larry and I have ill against each other, it hinders the Holy Spirit working in both of our lives. If he has ought against me and I have ought against him, this is why the devil's constantly trying to stir up trouble in the church. Did everybody know that? We didn't realize that. The devil's constantly trying to stir up trouble in the church. Because if Larry has ill against me, and I know he doesn't, so I'm picking on him, and I have ill against him, that hinders the Holy Spirit working in both of our lives. And we begin losing our effectiveness. So hurt feelings can be handled one of three ways. Number one, you can nurse your hurt. A lot of people go that route. Entertain thoughts of revenge and retaliation. Let it take root. Go out. Or men are good at number two. Real good at this one. You can deny your hurt. You can stuff it. Bother me. You can. Men are good at this. I think maybe women a little more guilty on the first one. Maybe more to nurse the hurt, unless you're wimpy like me. I nurse my hurts once in a while. So you can nurse your hurt, entertain thoughts of revenge and retaliation. Let it take root, become bitter. Stuff it. Grow cold, unfeeling, and uncaring. This has happened to a lot of men who have been through ugly situations, wartime, some of those kinds of things, where they've had unfair treatment. I want to say that with the utmost of sensitivity, but I've counseled some of those guys. And what it boils down to is that they feel like God did some things that were unfair. And they stuff it, and they stuff it, and they tell no one, and they refuse to talk about it because it's painful to talk about it, and they grow cold and unfeeling and uncaring. I think law enforcement officers are real susceptible to number two. They're trained and told to be tough and hang in there, and they have to take a hold of the situation. They're trying to do a good job, and I don't think it's always arrogance or anything like that. I think they feel like they got to be in control of the situation, and they see things that are extremely painful. I've ridden with those guys enough to see some of the stuff that they see and some of the things that happen to children. It's got to hurt them awful. I was with Ezra Bricknell one night and in the middle of the night, and we had to chase a guy down with a police dog through the woods, and he had a little boy, and I saw Ezra pick up that little boy, and I had a great respect for him after this. He hugged that little boy, and I thought, man, that's got to hurt. But yet, because of his position, there's decisions he had to make, and he had to lock up that father. But you know, you can stuff your hurts. And they can become ill, and you can become angry at God, which is a route so many take, and you can grow cold and unfeeling and uncaring. And the answer to that is to say, Lord, say your name. God said to Jacob in that wrestling match, what is your name? And they wrestled another hour. And he said, what is your name? And he wrestled another hour. It says they wrestled through the night. And God said again, what is your name? And they wrestled another hour. And finally he shouted, deceiver. And when he said his name, God said to him, you'll no longer be deceiver, but you'll be a prince of Israel. And he renamed him. God wants us to say uncle. He wants us to say our name. And if you're here tonight and you say, boy, you pinned it on that. And Pastor, I know all about being cold and unfeeling. Say your name. Begin saying, precious partner, I want the tenderness back of springtime. I want the softness of a child back. I want to feel your presence. I want to be able to feel your wing against my ear. I need your wings beneath me. I need you to help me. And I can't keep distancing you by the attitudes I'm buying into and choosing to have. Hurt can be handled in three ways. The last way is the appropriate way. Acknowledge your hurt. Admit it. Humble yourself. I'm hurt. Guys, can you go to your wife, look her straight in the eye, and say, you hurt my feelings? Or are you too tough to do that? It's good to look your wife straight in the eye. She hurts your feelings sometimes. My feelings on what you said. We practice this. You hurt my feelings. Pam will say to me sometimes, Tom, you hurt my feelings. Okay. Hey, I want the precious partner effective in my life. I don't care if the whole world knows it. And Christianity begins at home. Mom used to say, you're no better Christian, you are at home. I want the Holy Spirit active in my life. So acknowledge the hurt. You hurt my feelings. Is there anything wrong? No, there's nothing wrong with going to a Christian brother. Let's, you and I pick on each other again. There's nothing wrong with me going to Larry and say, Larry, what you said to me hurt my feelings. We're too proud to do that most of the time because we're admitting a weakness. There's nothing wrong with him coming and saying, Tom, you hurt my feelings. Oh, okay. Give him a chance to correct it. Acknowledge your hurt. Then ask the comforter to heal it. Confront the inflictor if necessary. Now that's a message in itself. But there are times when to acknowledge your hurt, and this morning I talked about confrontation. If you weren't there this morning, I'd like you to listen to that message. Some valuable truths this morning there that I think we need. Sometimes you have to confront the inflictor. I can't tell you the times I've had people after counseling sessions, and I'm no PhD counselor, but in counseling sessions with people, I've had them write letters, I've had them do things, or tried to get them to, because they needed to confront the inflictor. That person that inflicted the pain, sometimes it's as simple as just going and Larry saying, Tom, you hurt my feelings. And I say, okay, what was it, Larry? And we work it out. But sometimes it's far deeper than that, and usually it is. Yes, you ask the comforter to heal it, but sometimes part of that healing process is the scriptural principle of confrontation that I talked about in the message this morning. And I think the church is afraid to do that. It's even become unacceptable to do. But loving confrontation can be a healing balm. I made a trip into a nearby town with a young woman to go to the home of a dying man. 4 years ago, probably, Pam, was that, probably. With tears running down her face after being at the altar, I had talked about these principles. She said, I've waited 25 years, and I got to do this. Will you go with me? I said, I'm in. I know this guy'd kill us or what he'd do. I wouldn't put it past him, to be honest with you. Knocked on the door. She's with me. And I told him we came to talk about some things that happened years ago that we knew that he didn't have long to live. We didn't mean to be insensitive, but that she can't live with him any longer. And then as a pastor, I looked at him and I said, you need this settled too. And he let us in. And I was never so proud of a young girl in my life as she sat there with tears running down her face. And she said, I've never gotten over the hurt that you caused in my life. I don't know what became of that man as far as eternally. But 3 to 4 months after that, he passed away. But I believe that that was not only key for her, but I believe that was key for him. Things, but I'm telling you, they're transforming things. You'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free, because you got to let it go. But to let it go, sometimes it's a verbal exchange between Larry and I. Sometimes it can just be done by going on a prayer walk and saying, Lord, help me let this go. I don't know why that even hurt me. That's stupid. That's what I say. I say, Lord, it's stupid that let that bother me. But that hurt my feelings. Help me let it go. And I'll open my hands like this. There's something good about doing that. Just let it go. Let it go. I'll do that. Somebody will come to my mind. I'll say, Lord, help me let it go. Let it go. But sometimes we can't let it go without the powerful spiritual act of proper confrontation. This is heavy, heavy stuff, morning and evening. I've given you a lot today on this. I'm going to close. My goal is to be out at 7:30. My watch is just a tad fast. I'll just say this one thing. The devil constantly tries to create conflict and ill feelings in the marriage, in the family, in the church, because he knows that if it's not brought into check, it takes God's Spirit out of the situation. That is why, if I may, and this is a message in itself too, but let me leave you with this. That's why in Proverbs 6:16-19, it says, 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination to him. Ooh, that's strong stuff. You know what abomination is? Look that word up. Woo! Let me repeat that to you again. 6 things doth the Lord hate, yea, 7 are an abomination. And it names 7 things, and one of them is to sow discord among the brethren. You know why that's an abomination?
to God, to go around and sow discord. And we've had a lot of people doing that in the community in the last couple of years. But you know why? You know why it's an abomination? Because it's not because somebody spoke against me. No. It's not that petty step. It's an abomination to God because it takes him out of the situation, and we desperately need his grace. When there's conflict, ill feelings, and discord, it'll take the spirit out of a church. It'll take the spirit out of a marriage. If you've got conflict and discord, it's difficult for you to function and keep the Holy Spirit active in your marriage, in your life, in your family. So the devil is constantly trying to create conflict. I feel like a lot of times as a pastor, I'm running around with a fire extinguisher. But to a degree, that is part of it, because the enemy's constantly trying to sow discord to have something stirred up between somebody. And you get this all settled and you're giving praise and happy that's over. He's got something over. He's like a bright little kid. He's over here and he's got something else started up, because he knows that if he can create chaos like that, he takes the spirit out. And it's not by might nor by power, but by God's spirit. It's our effectiveness comes from God's spirit. That's why God says, I hate that. And who would have thought he'd have put that in there? Do you think that really fits? Six things are abomination, or six things doth the Lord hate. The Lord hates, it says. Yea, seven are an abomination. One of them is to shed innocent blood. He has sowed discord among the brethren in with the list of shedding innocent blood. I'd think, well, boy, that one sounds a lot worse than the other. No, because sowing discord takes the spirit out of situations. And I've seen people, please don't be offended, I don't have a person in mind by name sitting here right now, but I've seen people, all they did in a church body was constantly stir up trouble. And it was grievous, not because they were gossiping, even though that's wrong as wrong can be. It was grievous because it takes the spirit out. And when you go to work in the morning, you need him. You with me? When temptation comes around the corner, you need him. So people get up, caught up in petty nonsense. I don't like the way this was handled. I don't like the way this was handled. I'm not being a smart aleck. I'm saying there's more things at stake than that. There are bigger fish to fry. Let it go. Because the teaser, the schemer, he does this stuff. It grieves me because I've seen it destroy people. And then what happens is there's discord and there's problem and the Holy Spirit's out. And then people don't have the enabling that they need to live. And it started with something stupid. It started with a difference of opinion that doesn't really make a lot of difference. I don't know about you, but I'm just plain weak enough. In all reverence, I need this guy right here. Right here. I need it for temptation. Yeah, I've walked with the Lord 40 years, but I need it for temptation. I need it for strength. I need it for courage. I need it to be able to speak and help you grow. I have to have him here, but anger takes you out. Bitterness will keep you out. Conflict will distance him. And that's why this stuff is crucially important. All right, I'm done. Let's pray. Lord, take these truths. I can cough and strain, jump up and down, and stand on my head. But none of those human efforts are going to plant it in somebody's heart like the precious partner, the Holy Spirit, just putting his hand on it and pressing it into the soil of our heart. Lord, I believe, more than I believe I'm standing here in this building, that you're wanting to make champions for your kingdom in this room. You did, which we can do in ourselves. But if we can walk like you did through the power of the Holy Spirit, this outreach, we ain't going to have to reach out. It's going to be a magnet. They're going to come in. We're not going to have to go get them. They're going to come looking for what we've got. Today, I've been blunt this morning and this evening. My, have I been blunt. These are sensitive topics. I'm aware that there's people sitting here in the sound of my voice that have painful things in their past that they've probably never told anybody. And it can appear that I'm being insensitive, but help them to see what's at stake here, that this is crucial. Work with us, guide us. Thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.